from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan. Today I'd like to first start with an apology. The apology is the fact that, as many of you noticed probably by now, the sound on my microphone is not so good right now. I'm unfortunately on my backup microphone, and that's because I've been fighting entropy for a very long time, and much of my equipment is slowly degrading in front of me. So I have to compensate for this, and it's been a bit of an adventure. But luckily, I'm always one step ahead, so I had a backup mic, and I also decided that I was going to invite someone on the show that once upon a time I also fucked up and recorded an entire interview with this person, and then it disappeared into the ether. So I thought, well, why not take a risky move like having defective equipment and try yet again? So I'd like to welcome my guest, AJ Johnson. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, in parentheses again.
Well, luckily it's been long enough since that first disaster that it doesn't really feel like deja vu. I'm trying to remember, how long ago did I try to get you on the show?
Oh, goodness. It must have been a year and a half, somewhere like that.
Something like that, yeah. And I remember the whole point that I wanted to have you on the show was saying, like, here's a person who had been a listener and who had sent me an email saying, what should I do? I want to get more involved. And then naturally I'm just like, well, join some organizations. And of course, you know, to a person like me who just says that, it seems like, well, you know, I didn't really do much. All I had to do was send a response letter to basically re-trigger what I think is already going on in some person's mind. And lo and behold, a career in this sector had basically evolved from that. Is that correct? Tell me a little bit about this whole story that I cheaply summarized.
Sure. Yeah. I had just graduated about a year back. This was back in 2010, 2011, and I wanted to get involved in the secular movement. I was currently working for my university, my alma mater, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, go Tar Heels, and I was raising money for them for the scholarship department, and I wanted to get involved in the secular movement. And so through a series of events with Bart Ehrman and the previous president of American Atheists, Ed Buckner, I was funneled through and got a job with American Atheists, with being their development director. And that kind of took off for about a year, and then now I'm started a new company, and that's mostly what I'm talking about now. And I guess we'll talk about our ideological shifts. I kind of think of it as kind of like parallel evolution. I think we came to similar places in time.
Yeah, it's so true. If we're through different means or through different environments, but one of the things that I always respect about you is that you always seem to be very connected with what was going on. You know, you obviously had a lot of passion, but unlike a lot of people that I feel have a lot of passion, you have a pragmatic side to you. And I think this is something that, you know, I've been trying to understand, pragmatism, and I'm slow to get there. But before we get to that point, I don't want to just go through it too rapidly, just only because I want to get an impression that there's a lot of people out there who are probably right now in the same stage that you were going back and saying, well, I just finished my schooling, and what should I do? And now, generally speaking, the experience that you got, like, did you work with American Atheists on the Reason Rally? Was that part something that you did?
Yeah, definitely. That was a huge part of what I did. I started about 7 months before the Reason Rally, and that was huge. And American Atheists, of course, spearheaded that whole venture. And I think that experience of working together and seeing a lot of groups come together for one cause, of course, that was just a day, but that kind of planted seeds for where I hope both of our activism, you know, will end up going.
Well, I think that one of the things that I definitely got out of Reason Rally, because I went myself, was this was definitely the, we had talked about before on the Lost Hidden show, that there's kinds of different forms of the way that we've expressed our non-belief. I know that for most people, they just say, well, that's a non-thing, you know, kind of like bald is a haircut. But I think that because of the weird pressures of everyone else's belief, there's been a, you know, and because of the, even the size of the scene now, there's been such a huge array of, the only way I can describe it is like flavors, I guess you could say, of atheism, kind of a different ideas about what it represents, what it means to live in a world without God, and so on and so forth. And I think that that's kind of something that we've witnessed express itself, and that now we're kind of at a point where I think, like all movements that begin to sort of like have different shifts, we find ourselves a little bit at an impasse of saying, well, how can we just all continue to do what we want to do, but work together in a way that makes, you know, sense to everyone, where everybody feels comfortable, you know what I mean?
Sure, definitely. I was talking to you just briefly before, and I think a point that deserves starting with or ending with or sprinkling throughout is this idea that we might be conflating two movements. We might be conflating the idea of an atheist movement, which is fighting explicitly for the rights of, you know, free thinkers and non-believers and their acceptance in society, and a secular movement, which is supporting the right that we already have, the rights that we were already given. I suppose atheist rights were already given too by the Constitution. But this idea that the separation of church and state is patriotic and necessary for the future of our country, and doesn't need to involve only atheists, only people that don't believe. It can involve people that do believe but also support it.
Right, that requires a very different strategy. I think that what we have to identify now, and this is part of the reason why I decided, you know, I made that big call of saying, I'm quitting the good atheist. Admittedly, the first day where you make the announcement, you're all like, you know, piss and vinegar or whatever, because you feel a little bit like a failure in a sense. Well, that's how I felt. You know, I just felt like, this thing I wanted to do doesn't quite, you know, doesn't quite pay the bills and all this other kind of stuff. And then I realized that the problem that I had was that I didn't realize that I was actually, in fact, an activist who was trying to take a couple of tricks from business and then just trying to apply it to keep puttering along, you know, doing his activism thing. And when I framed it in that context, when I understood, well, okay, I had a purpose, and my purpose was I wanted to take individuals that were either on the edge or outraged by their own religions, and or had become atheists and wanted to have confidence, you know, wanted to, you know, they needed that in a sense, because they didn't have a community around them and so on and so forth, and they needed that something I could provide in that sense, being like, no, you're right, and here are all the outrageous reasons why everybody else is wrong. And that filled a kind of niche, I think. Now, mm-hmm. With that said, I mean, all of that stuff hasn't suddenly disappeared, but I felt as though my particular brand of activism was no longer necessary, because the shift in the scene had changed its focus on what it wanted to be activist about. My only problem was that now what was happening is that all of these other things were starting to mix in. And while I think that all of those activism parts are good, I think it's necessary to identify exactly what part of activism you are doing.
I just had a question. You said that the focus of the movement, or the focus of activism, had changed direction. Do you think that that's actually true, or do you think that you just changed the focus of that, it was just you, and that you might be projecting that on the movement?
No, well, I think that basically what has happened is that the real shift has been towards introducing a strong feminist element to the atheism scene. Not that I necessarily disagree with any of the elements and the aspects of that. It's only that, you know, if I read, say, some of the larger blogs, and if I was to sort of like make a comparison between what the messages are coming through. I mean, these are all across most of the blogs. Not all, because it depends on the focus, right? It depends on what a person says. Well, I want to focus on atheism in Pakistan, or I want to focus now on rape culture in America. And I'm like, these elements still play into the this idea that, well, we want a rational society, and there's a lot there that does correlate, but it doesn't all correlate, or it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who's part of the atheism scene sees that as necessarily a priority for the right or the wrong reasons. That part, I don't care. For me, I'm just like, well, my particular type of activism, this is all I know about me, my particular voice, in a sense, I was feeling a bit like a dinosaur, like as if everything I was saying, either I was repeating myself, or the conversation really didn't, like, what I wanted to say didn't necessarily jive with what everybody else wanted to hear. Like, what are people really interested in? What is the, what are the topics that have the most, like the most listeners? And I'm just like, I think I'm done having a conversation about atheism. I think that when I've made fun of enough religion, I've done that part. And now I'm just like, well, there's other parts of life that I want to be involved in. And it's not all activism. I think that some people, can continue doing that for a long time, you know, if they have a nice secure job and it's like their part-time thing. And I'm like, well, that's cool. But now I need a secure job, you know?
Right. Well, and additionally, especially if we're going to move into a business, ideology, we have to expand our market, and the atheist market, for what it's worth, especially the activist atheist market, is extremely small. You know, identified atheists and agnostics make up 1-3% of the population, maybe a few more percentages depending on the poll. And then from that, the people that are actually active in the community is about 1% of that. So you're really talking very, very, very small numbers, even if you could get everyone to agree to buy your product or to endorse your idea. I think it becomes, not only pragmatic, but, you know, necessary to move beyond this very strict, these boundaries of atheism, if we're talking about either making money or actually making a difference. And, I think that what concerns me more, I'm not, you know, I'm probably going back to school. I expect to be a professor, PhD or something, you know, down the road. I'm not extremely as interested in making money as I am with making a difference. And I think, that we need to expand our pie or our idea of what secular America is if we want to do either of those.
It's true. And one of the things that I remarked after I had basically called it quits. And by the way, in terms of everybody's wondering, like, how long is the quits? And I'm like, well, it's kind of like quitting cigarettes, so I'm not going to cut everybody off in one shot. We've got, you know, there plans to be a slow trickle. The only difference is, as time goes on, I can devote less and less time to it. So it's whatever else begins to fill my time. I think that's the fairest way to put it, you know, and the fairest to everybody else anyway. So we'll see, you know, and it all depends. But in any case, the thing that I, you know, you talked about size of markets, but I also think that there's a lot of people who are in the atheism scene that just have a very kind of pragmatic approach to things. You know, they say, well, I think you should treat it as a business. And this was something that a lot of people had said, because they're like, well, if you have a product, I'd pay for it. And it's just because I think that there's a large contingent of non-believers, probably the majority, that are just in the I don't care. And if you're in the I don't care, now you're basically having to appeal to them the same way that I would appeal to any customer. I have to design a product. I have to, you know, it has to have appeal. But if it does, of course they'd support it. I mean, it's the same way that atheists are not cheaper when it comes to donating to charities. It's just that they're really choosy. And the way that I think atheists are choosy is that they're like, well, show me your product and I'll show you the money. And that was, you know, even like I said before, when I announced that I was leaving, people were just like, yeah, I'm a business person. I fully support your idea. What kind of business projects do you want to be involved in? And I realized, well, we're all kind of interested in doing business with one another. You know, we skipped that weird religious part where groups of people come together and then they all have to have, you know, pretend that they all believe the same thing. And then they all like each other enough to fucking do business. And I'm like, shit, we already skipped the nonsense part. Now that we have a community, why don't we all get together and say, hey, I'm good at this, I'm good at that. Why don't we all get together and make some fucking cool products that enlighten a whole bunch of other people? And we don't have to lose our activism part in our own business. Like, we can choose to do things ethically. And I think that, in a way, you know, the atheism, the skeptical mentality can shape our attitudes about, you know, what it is that we sell, what we find, what we support, and the kinds of people that we still market to are intelligent, skeptically minded individuals. And I don't think that will ever change, you know?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I feel like I'm talking all around my business just by talking about it. I guess, may I talk about Be Secular? Because it's hitting
it's
right
time
on all the
things. Yeah, I think it's time to. Tell us about your new business.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Be Secular is it's a socially conscious company, and we provide quality merchandise and fundraising opportunities supporting human rights and the separation of church and state. So we designed this business to promote community and network between people of all worldviews. who are secular, who believe that the separation of church and state is important and who support human rights. So that means we have Christian groups, and hopefully we will have, you know, Jewish and hopefully Muslim and Hindu, and we want to run the gamut of all of the groups that we could possibly have involved that do support, you know, LGBT rights, racial equality, gender equality, women's reproductive. We have a list of things that these groups have to say that they are in support of. And we believe that we will have lots of groups that can say that they are in support of this. And once someone is affiliated with us, for example, we have American Atheists Recovering from Religion. We have Black Atheists for America and some other groups, some Christian groups, Christians Tired of Being Misrepresented. And some other groups. So when you go to our website and you buy a t-shirt or a wristband or a bumper sticker or what have you, you can designate 50% of the profit of that purchase to go to one of our affiliates. So every purchase you make, 50% of the profit of that goes to support being secular. So we're putting, you know, our profit where your mouth is in a weird way. And we think that this model encourages organizations that may not think of themselves as allied with each other to join on board. And we're hoping that our differences, while we might disagree about gods or religion, that the points that we do agree on are much more important. And they're actually what makes a difference to the day-to-day lives of millions and millions of people.
Well, it sounds like the first thing that you're doing is you're commoditizing your fundraising opportunities so that no one needs to hire someone like you full-time. They just need to hire you for a specific ability or a specific fundraiser that they need. So that's nice. Already there, I like that. The commoditization of your fundraiser and organizational abilities, and then combined with this intriguing choose-your-own donation thing. That's really interesting, too, as well. I think that that will resonate really well with groups, and at the very least, manage to get a person to see all of the different groups that are involved in it, and that visibility alone can kind of make them see that, hey, you know, hand in hand, let's make a better world. You should have like totally a kind of slogan like that or something.
Well, yeah, we're working on it. It's actually just a few months old. You know, it's very fledgling idea, and we've gotten so much support already that I'm pretty confident it'll you know, be taking off in the near future. We're hoping to get, you know, down the road, get, you know, on The Daily Show or Colbert or Rachel Maddow or something like that. I find that this idea of secularism is so much easier to advocate and to get people to support. I could go into my family reunion full of Southern Baptists and easily get them all to support the idea of be secular by presenting the idea of living under an Islamic theocracy.
Right. Well, I mean,
instead of one that was, you know. Go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. You had just cut out. Can you repeat that last sentence?
Oh, I just said, instead of presenting the idea that they'd have to live under an Islamic theocracy instead of one that was Christian and the kind of Christian that they would endorse.
Well, that's the little secret that every single Christian tries to, you know, ignore or deny or not tell each other is like, yeah, whatever Christians are trying to push their specific brand of Christianity, they don't believe what you do. You're a different sect for a reason.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the people that will get involved with Be Secular understand that, and that's how they support it. And that's what makes it so compelling and a lot easier to get people involved with. When I talk about the long-term prospects of this idea, you know, I ask people, you know, how long do you think it would take for us to get an atheist caucus in Congress? And people go, never, you know, 100 years, you know, you get all kinds of outrageous answers. And then I ask, how long do you think it would take us to get a secular caucus?
Right,
15?
Right.
20? Maybe?
Maybe less.
Less.
I think that what's going to happen is that right now, in America, there's always that push from left to right. I know that, you know, in terms of political spectrum, people don't like this binary choice. But I got to say that for the most part, it really does end up being binary choices, definitely when you're in America. And what happens is that typically one side that has had a great deal of political power, as the shift begins to happen, they're going to exercise that power a lot more, even though that power doesn't really reflect what the feelings of the majority are. And I, you know, where you look at in most places where it's almost becoming impossible to get an abortion, even well, if you asked most of the people around, they'd be like, yeah, no, of course, it's, you know, there's much more support for freedom of choice, but it's just because of the way that power has been distributed. And because of that shift, there, you know, there's another pull now, a pull of force towards this attitude of saying, well, the obvious and clear reason for this is because they're being sectarian in their choices, and we need to be secular. So I think that you'll experience a lot of energy coming from people who are frustrated and saying, like, how can we push back? Well, the answer is we need to form a super mega fucking alliance, Super Saiyan style, and get over all this other stuff and just realize that the real enemy is when we mix religion and politics. We've all agreed to this. This is the reason why America did as well as it did, is it didn't become a theocracy despite being a very religious nation, and that worked out in its favor. And when you start mixing the two, you know, that concoction is awful. You'll see the obvious misogyny and cruelty of religion, and it'll be on display for everyone to see, because there's some people that are just like, yeah, I like that, whatever that is. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I think that we will be very successful with the idea, because it changes the focus. Because when you say, you know, even I feel like this represents a change in my own philosophy and my own approach as well. For example, when I would say that I was, you know, working with American atheists, and the reaction that I get from people when I'd say that versus be secular and explaining that idea, it's night and day, the reaction, even with other atheists. You know, a lot of times I'd get reactions from atheists that didn't really care about the movement, but, you know, didn't really believe. They might not identify as atheists, even though we would call them atheists, and they just didn't appreciate the idea of an atheist movement per se. But when I present the idea of a secular movement, it was so obvious. Of course, duh, we all need that, and we all agree. It's very easy to get consensus there, and I think that we're going to need that consensus to do anything worthwhile moving forward.
And I think it's important for us to remember that all of the things that we've done in the past haven't gone away. You know, like the same way that I'm going to be opening up a lot of my shows so that people can go back and listen to them, because they don't just go away. You know,
right.
there is a, even though some of them may have kind of like, you know, some news bits here or there, for the most part, they're just reflections on common themes. And I think that in that way, you know, even as we do activism, as we encourage, you know, a new generation to step up and take the reins of certain activism parts, because I think that at the, you know, like the atheism part where I said, you know, somebody needs to develop confidence in that, in their non-belief, understand that, you know, despite what everyone's yelling at them, no, it seems like that's the pretty much the correct answer here. You're right, and here's a zillion reasons why you're right, so that you feel
right.
That confidence. Once that's done, and I think that you can just say, well, all right, I'm over that part, and now I want to kind of do something else. You see, I kind of got over a bit of my rage throughout the years as I had different interviews with people that shed a little bit of light, and you know, one of them mentioning, for instance, Leo Igwe, which I mention everyone just again, because he really did change my mind quite a bit, is he said we had to lead by example. And I realized that I wasn't the guy to do that. I'm not the guy to lead by example. I'm a bit too passionate and at times way too, incensed, and I want to kind of direct that in a way that, you know, the same thing you said, that there was tons of people who are atheists who are like, meh, I don't really want a movement. They still want something. They still want some kind of message to be said. In the difference is that they're gonna want to pay for it. They're gonna want to, you know, that's the only thing that's going to appeal to them at that point. Because if you couldn't make them believe that it was important to get the word out of atheism, even though they are themselves atheist, then you got to appeal to them as just basically, you know, consumers. Then that's the only way. And still, sure. And at the end of the day, you know, like you mentioned in your business, that you wanted to keep, you know, like a part of it that would be funneled to all these different organizations, the choice being up to the person who donates, right? So there's it's like business activism.
100%. I think of course we would like to make money, but this isn't the primary, you know, breadwinning thing for me or for my business partners. Two people named Mark and Shannon Nebo, by the way. Other atheists, we're all atheists, and we've all come to the conclusion that we get kind of like what I was saying before, that we want to make a difference, that we want, you know, LGBT equality, that we want gender equality, that the things that we actually want, we are not at odds with a lot of religious people on. And so because we are essentially this, they are acting and we are talking a lot of the time. And if they are acting and we can be acting with them or helping them act, or, you know, providing a platform to connect people on this side to people on that side, I think that we should definitely be doing that. And down the road, I would hope that we could have conventions and things that, gatherings of all kinds of people that are religious and non-religious that want to advocate for common causes.
And I think it's important, too, that we realize that the fact that, you know, a community has existed, but like all communities, they fragment somewhat, they go into their different directions. People kind of congregate in a different way, right? The more things people have in common, the more their interests align, if you want, the closer they'll become. And, you know, maybe I'm being too scientific here, but I also think that's kind of like love. You know, love is where interest aligns almost perfectly, right?
You're being too scientific. It's kind of like love. What?
Well, I'm mentioning that if you examine love itself, right? I would say that love comes from a point where the shared interest is so high that you can't help but be like completely irrational about the way you feel about someone. You see what I'm saying?
yeah, sure, Jake. But no, I think I know what you're saying, that you are similar enough with someone, then you will have affection for them for that reason.
Exactly. And so, at the same time, like you had, when I reached out to you and I said, oh, well, I'm leaving, I'm going to be doing business, you kind of like freaked out a little because that's something that you were doing as well. And I've mentioned the fact that I think this is actually something that I've noticed or other people will go through. I think it's important to realize where in the ladder you sit. Are you a person who's consuming, say, atheism activism content? Are you a person who's producing that activism content? Are you an activist at something else as well as sort of like your belief that, you know, non-belief needs to be spread around, let's say, like other people need to be more aware of it? Or are you now just say like, well, I did that part and now I met a lot of great people with a shitload of talent and I kind of want to do some business here. And the rest of it, I still want to, you know, make sure that I continue to do every once in a while and be involved. And like a good thing is having you on the show, for instance, and talk about your latest project. So I like to still be able to do that every once in a while, sort of like kick it back and just say, well, this is how we make connections, because I still believe there's a few people even listening now. They're like, wow, that's a great idea. I wonder if they need any help, you know, and I have these talents or those talents.
Yeah. Well, go to besecular.com and contact us.
There you go. They're like most organizations, they're always looking for people. And, you know, as in AJ's case, when she was wondering, what should I do? And just like, get the fuck involved, bam, and all, next thing you know, it's a career, it's a life, it evolves over time, and it leads you to, I don't know how big this kind of thing could be, but like you mentioned before, I mean, secularism is pretty big, and the idea sounds kind of intriguing.
Well, I honestly, this is a hypothesis, and I've not seen it. I'm sure that there are numbers to, you know, bear it out, but we know how big nuns are. We know that nuns are 20% of the population, 1 in 5. If we combine nuns with liberal or, you know, I mean, I know we don't like the binary or progressive or whatever, you know, believers that are also in support of basic human rights and equality, that's going to be a huge number. That, I mean, we've got to be pushing 40, 50% at that point being conservative. And if we could just get a small percentage of those to give a damn enough to open their wallets just to say that they give a damn. And I think once this catches on, it could become like Live Strong or Rock the Vote or something like that, where the social pressure, you know, kind of the grassroots element kind of boils from below and makes it take over from that level. It becomes a foregone conclusion, and that's what we want, that everyone that's reasonable is secular as well, even if they're an atheist or a believer.
Well, I'll tell you what, here's what you do. You basically, you've got that 2014 fear that everyone has of saying, can we finally kick out all of these crazies out of Congress. So you could be running high there, or, and I would 100% put my support for you right now, no questions asked, is if you supported Elizabeth Warren for president. There you go.
Well, I'll tell you, I support Elizabeth Warren for president, but I don't know if Be Secular does. And that's it too. We really don't want to separate it left or right, or you know, religious or atheists or what have you. We really want it to just, the only divisive lines to be people that do not support the separation of church and state and human rights, and the people that do. And we think we can get a lot of people under that, as long as we, you know, no matter what our personal politics and beliefs are, try our best to rise above them for the good of the secular movement, then I think we'll be on the right track.
And I guess what we'll do is before we set sail on this podcast, the one thing I want to kind of ask you is, if you were to summarize your experience, your, say, activist experience in the scene, and, you know, like, what would you say was the most inspiring thing for you? What was kind of that moment where you said, like, yeah, all right, that was a good choice, what I did?
Oh, probably Reason Rally. From backstage, after everything was okay, and nothing, you know, nothing had blown up, and all of the guests had made it on time, and everything was actually, I could take a breath and look out over the crowd and see thousands of people, tens of thousands of people, whose lives were changed by being there, just by being there with each other, and understanding that feeling that we had, that we needed it. That as a community, as, you know, individuals, we needed to know that we weren't alone on a level that you can't necessarily get on the internet. And I think that was transformative for me, and it made all the difference. But I realized too that we can't do it by ourselves, that we can't be just atheists trying to advocate for just atheists and expect for everyone else to care, that we have to care about other people's issues, because as they relate to the separation of church and state, if we expect them to care about ours.
Right. And we need to do that in a way that's kind of directed, not just the same, like, well, what can I do? And, well, here's a couple of ideas. Let's get on the secular bandwagon thing. Let's work together.
Yeah, and I'm not gonna lie and say that you know, I'm necessarily looking forward to dealing with religious people, or that I'm, you know, going to be, you know, always going to be the best role model when it comes to that. I'm still, you know,
full of piss and vinegar.
Yes, and quite the atheist, as it were. But I do, you know, feel like this is the best way forward, and I think that if there are other people out there that feel that way, then we want them with us.
Well, the trick is always that you're going to disagree with people. That's just part of life, is that are you able to reach areas of compromise that make sense for everyone? And I think that's the part of our own lives right now. We don't quite know how to deal. I mean, it's like the Facebook add a friend, remove a friend, you know, kind of phenomenon where you have a disagreement with someone. And I know a lot of people have a tendency of removing people, you know, others. And I tell this all the time, because luckily Facebook is not the world, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm like, try not to do that in real life, because there's going to be instances where you really do fundamentally disagree with someone, but you can't make it. You can't make it the only issue. You know, there are dividing ideas, but I think the key in terms of reaching peace is figuring out how to live together with some of these really dividing ideas.
Right, and starting from where we agree instead of starting from where we don't.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just, how do you build those bridges, right? What are the things that you're willing to say, that's the limit? And I think that in your organization, you already said it before, you're like, well, they have to agree to a certain set of standards about everything. And this lays out a kind of, you know, this is the area of agreement. Everything else, whether or not I agree in your, you know, customs, or even have things to say about the kind of culture that, you know, it generates, that's a different discussion. That is part of the other stuff that we were mentioning before, you know, the atheist activism.
Exactly.
The voices that still need to be there. But in a way, we need to just, I don't know if we have to be schizophrenic about this. This is something I'm trying to wrestle with, is saying, well, I do want to work with other people. I do want to have messages that are heard by a fairly larger audience than what we have now, but I also at the same time don't want to abandon the individuals that have been loyal, that are still part of that. So, you know, you fight with that. You're just like, how do I deal with still having that part the activism part, and now stepping above, beyond that. And there's going to be lots of people who are listeners who are probably even in the scene and just realize that, yeah, that I'm in that same position. What do I do now? What can I do? And I think that if you just step away from it, I mean, I did that for about a week after I announced that I was going to quit, and I took a week off and I just went to visit some friends, and I realized that there was still, you know, like once I took away this idea that I had to do things in the confines of atheism, I found that I had all these other ideas about other stuff that I wanted to do that were just as exciting and I think everybody would just like as much, and that still have that tint of, you know, you want to change the world, but you want to change a person's perspective, and that's the way you want to do it. And,
right.
And everything I do is just trying to change people's perspective. But now I'm like, I'm going into business. I think I can actually make money changing people's perspective. But atheism's too small. And I just want everybody who's still active in atheism that's been listening to my stuff to be able to be excited about saying, like, it's an open invitation. You know, you don't have to choose. It's not, you know, none of what I've done before is being renounced. In fact, I'm giving away more of it for free. I'm hoping that, in fact, that some people who are listeners, I've been recruiting slowly and saying, does anybody want to be the next generation of good atheists? You know, of like allowing me to teach them how to do this activism stuff, how to like edit shows, all the stuff. I'm like, I can teach someone how to do that. Why not? I'd love to hear new thoughts and new opinions coming from like a youthful generation that's frustrated by religion themselves.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you're totally right that kind of feeling has its place and it's a natural thing. And I don't want anyone that, you know, may be I use this word loosely, a fan of mine to think that I'm, you know, disregarding, you know, the vitriol that I have from being an atheist, or that I, you know, don't believe that religion is harmful. I still do believe all the same things. I just, kind of like you said originally, I just kind of found a more pragmatic way of approaching it.
Well, I think that also we're not quite, you know, we're all just trying to stumble in the dark here. This new business, or, you know, like mindset, if you want, is kind of like, you know, the hilarious thing, you ever heard about the Oneida, spoon, like, makers where they make cutlery? Oneida,
no.
I think they're called. Anyways, they were actually a cult. They were a Millerite cult that, you know, basically when it shed its cult element and it just kept the business. Because there was,
right.
it was like one of those weird religious communes with, you know, the guy having a ton of wives and stuff like that. But, you know, they gained respectability when they lost all that stuff. They became more pragmatic because, you know, you need to survive, and being some kind of weird Amish group doesn't pay the bills. And they were just like, okay, well, that's just part of our past. Kind of like Quaker Oats isn't run by a bunch of people who shake and quake while they're praying. You know, they have a board of directors, and they kind of went business, but they kept the image in a way.
Right.
And I think that the key to doing business is that you need people that you share things in common with, that you're able to make somewhat friends with. You'll notice that most businesses always want to deal with people that they can trust and have friendly relations. And also that that individuals are smart and talented. I'm like, this scene is full of smart and talented people. And it's kind of like there's no one that has been able to come along and just snatch all of these skillful people and say, come under an umbrella of something larger and let's build something that's not necessarily just about atheism. We all found each other through there. Sort of like the same way that, you know, Jewish people have kind of this mercantile part of life. It's like, oh, nepotism, you know, like that version of like, oh, you're part of that club. Well, now you get a couple of advantages. I'm like, why don't we do that? That seems like a pretty fucking smart move.
Well, I don't know about a nepotism policy, but I do agree, at least with the fundamentals of, you know, moving forward as a religion, not really, but as a group of people that are joined together under, you know, a common idea.
Now, I know you hate that word, but I'll use it again. I'll use it. We're cults. Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing you have to understand, and I mentioned this on all the other shows, is that our concept of cults is just really skewed. We think of cults as like evil things, but we don't realize that a cult is really just a grouping of individuals with common interests and common, say, quote-unquote beliefs. They don't even have to be that strong belief. I mean, like, Star Trek is a cult, okay? It's a whole bunch of people come together. They dress in weird costumes. They have little signals. They have their kind of strange dogma. And everybody meets up once in a while, and they, you know, they almost have their own language. There's its own feel there. But no one is really creeped out unless you're a hot girl. Now,
that's funny.
Now, and there's tons of other examples of this, but in a way, businesses are actually kind of like that too. And I think this is why religions turning into businesses makes sense. And this, because, you know, if you look at the history of religion, let's take Christianity, for instance. Well, one of the things they always talked about that was evil was usury, right? Charging interests on stuff. But it didn't, they said it was evil, but it didn't stop them from doing it. In fact, it was by calling it evil and controlling this usury that they made us so much money, you know, like that was clever. But, you know, obviously you can't control people's minds like that. That's a creepy cult, like the Catholic Church, right? That's obviously fucking creepy as hell. But once you remove this whole basis of why everyone's together, well, you're under the same, you know, grouping because there's a God and I know what he wants and I'll tell you what that is if you give me all your money. Now all it's become, you know, for instance, in a business is we're just going to make money. Fuck this other shit. It's
like, I guess I'm just opposed to, you know, the heavy lifting of redefining a word or taking away all the negative connotations. I talk about reclaiming terms when people talk about, you know, as an African-American female, words like, you know, nigger or bitch or any of those things. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to do is fine. And if that's part of your, you know, identity, to relate to it in that regard, I'm just not really, it just seems like a lot of work to do for a term that I don't really necessarily have a lot of affinity for. And I feel like cult is kind of similar. Like, if you want to rehab that word, Jake, then
I'm gonna
more
try.
Power to you. But, I don't know if it's worth the heavy lifting.
Well, you know, my try that I decided that I'm going to do is it's a book that I'm going to call The Little Book of Cults, and I'm going to describe a number of elements of what cultishness means. I've given a preview on some of my previous shows, and I'm going to include now businesses like, you know, the Apple cult is going to be an interesting one to talk about. And you know, you're right. I mean, it is going to be some heavy lifting. I think it's going to be interesting nevertheless. I'm going to be the only one using the words, which is what's going to differentiate me. But every time I use it, it gives me an opportunity to talk about the fact that everything, like, if we only accepted how kind of weird and creepy some of our own groupings are, we would just realize that, yeah, we fall under that branch. And it's fine. Groupings of people coming together is natural with common interest. It's just that to avoid all of the creepy shit is, like, I think only understanding it is the way to avoid it, in my opinion. Like, and by denying it, by not looking at it, I think we do ourselves a disservice. But that is another conversation. I think I'm going to convince you in my book. That's my point.
Yeah, sounds good. So I guess, do you want to wrap it up? I can get the contact info for Be Secular myself.
Yes. Well, I'm going to provide a link on the site. What's the link again, if you can just give it for people who hate looking at notes or web browsing?
Sure. It's besecular.com. And I'm on Twitter at Happiest Atheist. And Be Secular is also on Twitter at Be Secular.
Fantastic. So I encourage everybody to go check that out. And if you're thinking yourself that you're feeling in a similar vein as me and AJ and thinking to yourself, well, I kind of want to branch out, you know, spread my wings a little bit. Well, what can I do? Understand that there's probably a ton of people that you've already made connections with that are, they might feel the same way. So I think that we should try to encourage each other to have that conversation and see where it takes us, because I think that we could all hit this, you know, the ground running. There could be maybe 100 other people that feel exactly the same way as we do, and all of a sudden we have a business sector, and some of that money can go back to secular and atheist causes. We get to decide that way. Wouldn't that be exciting? Like, actually having money to inject in the scene? I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
Exactly. Okay, well, with that, I'd like to thank my guest, AJ Johnson. Thank you for doing a second show, even though the other one is gone forever.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Have a good atheist day, everybody.